Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus tells us a little story about a walk of shame this morning. And it is kind of a funny little story about a guy at a wedding reception. And you know when you go to a wedding reception, especially the really fancy ones, tables closer to the front, you know, are all reserved for the more important people. And then if you're not as quite important or not as close to the family or whatever, you sit kind of toward the back. So we have an understanding of what this is. But anyway, some guy waltzes into a wedding reception, goes and sits right up at the head table. And here the master of ceremonies has to come and tell him, there's more important people than you. You can't sit there. And so he has to take that walk of shame back down to one of the lower seats. You know, I've seen this at church so many times. Everybody wants to come and take the most important seats in the front pews, you know. And the ushers have to come up and tell them, no, I'm sorry, you're not good enough. Or maybe I dreamt that, I don't know. But it does really stink to be put in your place. It is pretty humiliating, quite a walk of shame. And I bet you can remember a number of times when people have put you in your place. My wife Valerie does it to me quite often. Spouses are good for this. I know you all know that marriage is good for that, being put in your place. But man, sometimes I will just be so convinced I'm right about something. And here, Valerie will just show me I'm dead wrong. And it is quite humiliating. It's a walk of shame. Trivia night here at, when we've had trivia nights in the past, talk about a walk of shame for me because I am so terrible. And you know, here I go into those trivia nights every time thinking, I might do better this time, you know. Maybe I'm worthy to sit at the head table there, you know, the park house table. But lo and behold, every time I take the walk of shame back to my house because I don't know anything. But this happens, you know, at work it can happen. Maybe you screw up and somebody at work kind of puts you in your place and it's embarrassing. Maybe at school a teacher puts you in place. That can be quite embarrassing. Mom and dad put you in your place. All of us have been put in our place by mom and dad. And we all, you know, kind of that sinful side of us likes it sometimes when like pro athletes are put in their place. You know, the ones that are really arrogant and bragging about they're going to win this game or do this and that and then they lose. We all kind of like that. So what is all of this about? You know, Jesus is giving us this stuff in the readings about humility and you wonder, what is he getting at? Is this just some like practical advice? Like, here's how not to embarrass yourself. Don't tell your wife you're sure about something when you really aren't, right? Is that all it is? Just practical things? Jesus says, don't think too much of yourself, you know? Or in Proverbs today, we have the first verse of Proverbs says, don't put yourself forward in the king's presence, you know? He might have to put you in your place. Is this all just practical wisdom? Well, I would ask you this. When have you ever known Jesus to just give some practical bits of wisdom? He never does that, okay? When have you ever known Jesus just to care about proper etiquette at a wedding reception? What is Jesus always interested in giving us, and what is he always preaching? He's preaching about God's kingdom and salvation and your soul. And all this stuff about humility is stuff about our salvation. And the walk of shame that Jesus doesn't want you and I to take is not just, you know, at a wedding reception. The walk of shame is the walk to death and hell. And he doesn't want us to take that walk. And the king, whose presence you and I shouldn't put ourselves forward in, is the king, the everlasting king. And this little parable from Jesus, then, is not just some practical advice about humility. It's a parable about our Savior Jesus, who himself took the walk of shame for you and me. So let's start, then, with the real problem. And the problem is dropsy. Have any of you ever heard of dropsy? I was really amazed Wednesday morning at our Bible study. We always study this text. And I asked them, yeah, they had heard of dropsy. So maybe some of you in your younger days remember people talking about dropsy. I never hear anyone talking about it. But even if you've heard about it, I wonder if you really know what it was back then. The word dropsy in Greek is really just a word that comes from the word water. So dropsy was when you retained water. Now, we don't call it that today. We have other words for it, but it's just the simple problem of when your body is not getting rid of the water, and then you know what happens. It retains all this water, and you end up swelling up. And if it gets bad enough, I mean, it can be really miserable. I mean, you can be so swollen that you're like even disfigured because it's stretching your skin to just places your skin won't stretch. So it can become a real problem. It's unpleasant, you know, you're bloated, you're disfigured. Well, today we know the causes of it better than they did then. I mean, now we kind of know why your body retains water. But Jesus doesn't honestly really care that much about that. Jesus is dealing with something more than just water retention. So think about this whole scene. Jesus heals a man who, try to picture him, is just completely swollen up. His whole body swollen up with water. He has dropsy. He heals a man with that, and then the very next thing he talks about is what? Pride. What's the connection there, right? You see the connection. When we are talking about somebody who has a lot of pride, we say they're full of themselves. We say they have a big head. They're puffed up. We say that, you know, sometimes we joke, I don't know if they can get their head through the door. Their head is so big. Well, this is all related, right? The problem isn't really water retention. Okay, Jesus can fix water retention in an instant. That's not an issue. The problem is pride, our sinful pride. The problem is our big heads. The problem is you and I being all puffed up with ourselves and drowning inside in our sins and pride. Now, in the gospel reading, Jesus has this man with dropsy before him. He's all swollen up, and the Pharisees are watching him like hawks, and they're trying to figure out, will he heal this man on the Sabbath day? Well, today it's Sunday. We're all here. It's Sunday morning, and Jesus has a whole congregation of us full of dropsy. We are all full of spiritual dropsy, big heads, and swollen pride. So the question for us is it okay for Jesus to work on Sunday? Is it okay for him to work today? Is it okay for Jesus to heal on a Sunday? Well, we better hope so, because we all desperately need it. Humility, see, it's not just some little practical tidbit that you and I can take into our week and we're going to put it into practice this week. Oh man, you know, I'm going to be more humble this week, not think too much of ourselves. That doesn't work. That's not true humility. Because pride, the problem with pride is we just can't beat it. It is a bigger enemy than any of us can beat by ourselves. We're not humble no matter how much we think we are. No, humility, see, is a gift of God. It's a gift of Jesus that he gives. It's something that where he comes and heals and cures our dropsy and gives us his true humility. Now, there is a seat at the head table that all of us want to sit at. We want to be there because that seat is right next to Jesus. And we all desperately want to sit there. And the problem is we just don't deserve it. We are prideful. We are puffed up. But the parable is about Jesus, who made a walk of shame all the way down to come and get us and bring us to the head table. Now you remember, I know you do, Jesus' walk of shame. Remember that walk of shame on Good Friday when he stood before Pontius Pilate and they made fun of him and they dressed him up, you know, in this royal robe and they put this fake reed in his hand, you know, well, a reed, but you know, a fake scepter, and they put a crown of thorns on his head and they spit on him. And they told him, prophesy to us, prophesy to us. And then they hauled him before King Herod, and King Herod demanded to see a sign, and they made fun of him and laughed at him and beat him. Then they sentenced him to death, and he walked through Jerusalem, through the streets of Jerusalem, all the way to Golgotha. They made him carry his cross, and along the way, the bystanders were making fun of him, laughing at him, spitting on him. He gets to the cross, they nail him to the cross, and they're saying, if you're the Son of God, then come down from there. And they cast lots for his clothes. Now, we thought we were putting Jesus in his place. How dare he claim to be the Son of God? But all along, it turned out, he was putting himself in our place, walking the shame that we deserve, dying our death, dying for our dropsy, our pride. Now go to Jesus' words in the gospel reading. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that's the story of our salvation. Jesus humbled himself, and God on the third day exalted him, rose him from the dead, raised him to heaven to be seated at his right hand, where he reigns over all. And now, here, the master of ceremonies, Jesus, calling from the right hand of God to you, friend, come up here and sit by me. The Lord's Supper is Jesus' wedding banquet. It's his wedding reception, and you and I all are invited to come up and have the best seat in the house, to come and sit with Jesus and receive the body and blood that he shed for us on the cross. What an invitation. An invitation to humility, his humility, to be cured of our dropsy and our pride and to live with him. Now this is a call to humility, by the way. We heard Paul say today in the epistle, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with humility and gentleness. Okay? Jesus has invited us to walk with him, and that means, as Paul talks about, living together in humility and gentleness, bearing each other's burdens. See, our natural sinful reaction, our natural sinful nature, is to act like the Pharisees did, to watch each other like hawks, you know, and watch for each other to slip up so that, you know, we can puff ourselves up with pride. But Paul says, no, don't walk that shameful way. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which Jesus has called you, with humility and patience, always being very eager to invite others to come and sit with us at Jesus' table. So friends in Christ, finally, do not worry about being put in your place, because your place has already been taken by Jesus. And he is the one who has now invited you to the best place, right next to him. Friend, come up here. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.